All right, hey everybody. So welcome to our first class on the Holy Spirit. I have Eric Davis with me. Eric, are you with me?
I'm here.
All right, thanks so much. So in this class, we would like to introduce some of the major foundations that we're going to build on through the rest of this class. But before we start going into the scripture, Eric, will you start us in a word of prayer, please?
Sure. Dear Lord, our gracious God, Father, we thank you for giving us such a beautiful day. Father, we thank you for giving us this time that we have to meditate on your word and to meditate on the spirit that you have enlivened us with so that we can connect to you and to those things which are not seen here in our physical reality. Father, we're so thankful that you've given us this spirit that we can see as evidence in our life of your working in us, that we can look to Jesus Christ and see who you are here in the flesh and what that spirit looks like working here through our flesh. Father God, thank you for being so good and so gracious to us. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. So y'all, there's two major things that Eric and I would like to do in this class. The first thing that we would like to do is explain the definition of the word spirit and then try to explain from that what the major work of the spirit is. Before we do that, though, Eric, let's just talk you and me for a second about the Holy Spirit. So for those of y'all who have not been a part of Manslick Road, we as a congregation did a monthly home study about two to three years ago now on the Holy Spirit. For me, at least, that was my first time ever studying the Spirit in depth. Eric, was that your experience as well?
Yes, for sure. Yep. Something that was very neglected as far as a triune God. You know, the right aspect that I did not give due diligence to.
Yes. And I know for me, it's not that the Spirit was never talked about, but at least growing up, the Spirit was always almost scary to me. I knew the things that he didn't do today. I knew he didn't give miraculous gifts. I knew he didn't talk to people, but I could not have told you very eloquently what the Spirit does do today. Right. And go ahead, Eric.
No, and as far as something that God has given us here, you know, that's kind of tangible that we can see the effects of, it's supposed to unify us, is something that I think has been very divisive in our churches when it's brought up and you know how we see it working in our own lives.
Amen. Yeah, and there's the irony, right? Is Ephesians 4 talks about the unity of the Spirit. And yet there are few biblical doctrines that are as divisive as the Holy Spirit. But I would say that Eric and I, along with many other brothers and sisters here, have probably been united more in mind by our study of the Spirit than almost anything else that we have talked about and meditated through together.
I agree.
So we would like to try to bring you into the conversation. And hopefully for those of you that have not been through this material before, bring you to a love of the Spirit, so that all of us can together unite more around the Spirit and what he continues to do today. But with that said, let me also say this. We are not going to talk about the current work of the Spirit for quite a few classes. There's other foundations that need to be laid first. So if you're jumping into this class expecting we're going to give you all the answers in the first episode, you're going to have to wait a little bit, because this has to be meditated on and worked through before we understand how the Spirit works today. All right, so with that said, what does the biblical word spirit mean? Eric, you know this. You better know this. What does the biblical word spirit mean?
Breath, literally breath.
I think for me, that was a life changer. Once I got that simple definition in my mind, I understood so much better what the Spirit of God is. Now, I want to work everybody through this. So, Eric, I'm going to share with you a Bible screen that will hopefully work us through what the Spirit is and who he is. So the first introduction of the Spirit is very early in the Bible. It's in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. And you can work through the various translations. They're almost all the same. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God. Growing up when I read this verse, I always had Casper in my mind. Maybe because of the King James translation of the Holy Ghost, but it was just like there's this dark water, but then over it is Casper just floating along like a little ghost. I don't think that's what this is. If you keep going down, and you know, this is from BibleHub.com. I use it all the time. If you look down to the bottom of the screen with the lexicon, you can go down to the word spirit and get a better idea of what the spirit is. So the Old Testament, this is the Hebrew word spirit, is used 377 times in the Old Testament. You click on this and it gives you a much better idea. It's the word ruach. Ruach. All right, Eric, say it with me. It is the word?
Ruach.
Ruach. Okay, I want everybody to get accustomed to this term. The word ruach is much better interpreted as breath. Breath. Now, you keep working through the Old Testament, this becomes very evident when you get, for example, to Genesis 6:17, the breath of life, Genesis 7:15 as well, the breath of life, Genesis 7:22, the breath of life. Whenever then we talk about the Holy Spirit, what we need to understand is that he is the breath of God, okay? So, Eric, let's just talk back through creation then. I'm going to come back to the screen. How does knowing that the word spirit mean breath help us in understanding what the holy breath of God did in creation?
It helps us see that through this thing which we are all connected to, God has made all these things alive, all these things that we're connected to, you know, from birth. Through our consciousness that is outside of us, like love and patience and peace, all these things that are outside of us that we know and are deeply ingrained with us from birth. You know, these are the things through which God has made everything alive and working according to his plan.
Amen. Amen. So let's go ahead and talk then about the second main part of this class that we wanted to discuss. Is what is the major work of the Spirit? I think it's pretty intuitive, as Eric just explained. Eric, for clarification, let me ask, and you just said this, once you understand that the biblical word Spirit is much better translated literally as breath, what is the major thing the Spirit does?
It breathes life. It gives life to creation.
That's it. The imparting or the breathing of life is the major work of the Spirit. Now, let's look at a couple of passages that lead us to this. Look over to John chapter 6 with me. Let's go to John chapter 6. So, y'all, this, as I said, this, I think, is the critical thing to understand in the study of the holy breath of God, is the major work of the Spirit is breath, okay? And because his major work is breath, it's the breathing of life. Eric, read this text for me. This is Jesus talking. Read John chapter 6, verse 63.
It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are life and spirit.
That's right. Now, this is a very important verse to understand. Eric, if you were to ask some in the religious world what the major work of the Spirit is, what are some various answers that we may get?
Spiritual gifts such as you know, speaking in tongues or prophesying or some kind of otherworldly talent that they may have.
Right. Now, to be clear, are those things the Spirit has done throughout history?
It has.
Absolutely. But is that the major thing the Spirit has done, is the giving of spiritual gifts?
It is not.
It is not. Okay. I'll use this analogy multiple times through the class, y'all. But I am an evangelist, and once a month, I send in copy codes. That allows us to use the copier to make print materials like these. Very useful, okay? Having a copier that works is very, very useful. But Eric, imagine that an eldership were to look for a preacher who is good at sending in copy codes. What kind of preacher are you going to get?
One that's good at sending in copy codes.
Yeah.
That's about it.
That's about it, right? That's not the major work of a preacher. The major work of a preacher, of course, is preaching the gospel, teaching the good news. that's the major work of the Spirit. Now, likewise, if you look for a preacher who is good at sending in copy codes, you misunderstand what the major work of a preacher is, and you're going to get a lousy preacher. Likewise, if you look for a Holy Spirit who only gives tongues and prophecies, etc., and you don't see the major thing that he does, everything else you understand about him is going to be out of whack. Okay? So, Eric, to be very, very clear again, what is the major work of the Spirit?
Giving life.
Giving life. Okay, let's look at another text, 2 Corinthians 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, this is Paul here speaking, but Paul is going to echo the words of Jesus. And let's notice what he says. To get the context here, let's get 2 Corinthians 3, 5, and 6.
Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything is coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God, who has made us sufficient to be ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life.
What does the Spirit give?
Gives life.
Life. Okay, now let's think all the way back to creation. When did man and woman receive life?
When they were breathed life, when they had breath, when they had life breathed into them by God.
Right. Now, for those of you that don't know Eric, tell us your background, what was your major in college, your current profession?
My major was exercise physiology, and I work now with spinal cord injury participants who are participating in research, relearning locomotor mechanics to stand and walk post a paralysis diagnosis.
Okay. So Eric, of course, has much more technical insight into physiology than I do. Eric, take me because I'm into the physiology here. Why is breath so important to life?
Because breath is what all of the things that extrapolate from it, you know, mind and physiological processes depend upon that inner breath that gives life to all the things which then extrapolate out from that.
So nervous system, for example, does the nervous system depend on the breath?
Everything depends upon the inner essence, which gives us life as we know it.
So is there anything in the human body that does not depend on breath?
No.
Okay. So, I mean, even y'all from a physiological perspective, life demands breath. Life demands breath. What then the Holy Spirit has always done, what he continues to do, and what he will do for all of eternity is the breathing of life. Okay? Now, let's go back to some earlier questions that I asked. I asked, you know, what are some answers we may get in the religious world for the major work of the Spirit? I think many in the religious world would say, you know, giving of tongues, prophecies, etc. Those are secondary things that he does, but by no means the primary thing that he does. Likewise, I think for me, if you had asked this to me even 5 years ago, I would have said the inspiration of Scripture. Okay? Now, Eric, has the Holy Spirit given us the Scripture?
Of course.
Absolutely. But even what is the purpose of that Scripture?
The purpose of that Scripture is to guide us closer to God.
Exactly, which gives us?
Life.
That's it. Right. So, y'all, I understand, I want to be extremely clear about this. Everything that Eric and I are going to try to teach come from the pages of this book. Nothing that we are going to claim is going to be apart from the teaching of Scripture. But the teaching of Scripture itself is that the major work of the Spirit is the giving of life. Break apart that word inspiration. What does the word inspiration mean?
Inspired.
Inspired, right? God breathed, okay? That famous verse in 2 Timothy 3, all Scripture is breathed by God, all Scripture is inspired by God. What is the purpose of that Scripture? What is the purpose of what God has given us? It's for the purpose of life. Another famous verse, look over to Hebrews 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Here in talking about the Word of God, notice what is said about the Word Eric, read for me just that first phrase of Hebrews 4:12.
For the word of God is living and active.
Okay. Now, this is a whole nother lesson for another time, but the idea of word is this idea of message. For you to speak, what's required?
Breath.
Right. Well, why is it the Spirit and not the Father or the Son who is most connected with inspiration? It's because speaking itself takes breath. And so the purpose of the Word of God, the purpose of the Scriptures, it's as Stephen says in Acts 7, it's the living oracles of God. It's to give life. That is what the purpose of the Scriptures themselves are. But let's back up and understand as well. If we think that the only thing the Spirit has done since AD 33 is give us the Scriptures, there's many other things about the Spirit that we're going to get wrong. If, however, we understand the major thing the Spirit has done since AD 33 is what he's always done, and that is to breathe life, one of the things to accomplish that purpose is the giving of Scriptures. Many other teachings about the Spirit are going to fall in line. So, y'all, those are the two major things we wanted to take you through in this first introductory class, the definition of Spirit and the major work of Spirit. Just as quick review, Eric, let's go back through this. The biblical word Spirit, and I'll put this new piece of information in here. The Old Testament word is ruach. The New Testament word is pneuma. So we'll use both of these terms. The Hebrew word is ruach. The Greek word is pneuma. So Old Testament ruach, New Testament pneuma. We'll use both of these terms to define Spirit. What does the biblical word ruach literally mean?
Breath.
Flowing from that then, because Spirit is breath, what is his major work?
To breathe life, to give life through his breath.
To breathe life. So y'all, from that, we are going to try to explain what all the Spirit has done to accomplish this purpose. What we are going to do through the rest of these classes are take you through the Old Testament and what the Old Testament teaches us about the Spirit and what he did. We're going to take you through some promises of what the Spirit was promised to do under the Messianic age and show you the ongoing fulfillment of those even to our days today. So thank you all so much for joining us for our first class. Eric, closing comments before we get off here?
No, I'm looking forward to the rest of this class. And you know, I hope all those who listen to this spend time meditating on the Spirit and how it's at work in their lives. And I think that's one thing Paul used as evidence and as motivation to keep him pressing forward was how active the Spirit was in his life and how much it had transformed him.
Amen. Amen. And we'll speak personally here for Eric and me as well. I think much as the Spirit transformed Paul, our meditation of the Spirit has brought spiritual growth and spiritual development and maturity in us that we would not have had otherwise for the Spirit. And I pray that all of you who are listening to this, especially if this is your first time going through this, take this study seriously. The Spirit for too long has been forsaken by Christians. Either he has been completely misunderstood as this enigma that gives tongues, or he's feared and we really don't understand what he does. But if you understand the life-giving breath of God, so many things about the very nature of our God, the teaching of his Scripture, and what he has accomplished through Jesus Christ will make so much more powerful sense in our lives. Well, thank you so much for following us in our first class. We look forward to catching up with y'all next time as we talk about the Spirit's work in creation.